Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Daniel Feynman, who's joining us from Build It Backwards. He's managing director in Redondo Beach. And Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bill.
I'm looking forward to our discussion. We're going to talk about strategic planning without doing is worthless is the name of your segment. Before we get into that, we always like to start by getting to know a little bit about our guests. Can you share a little bit about your background and how you got into this particular line of work?
Sure thing. I was actually born and raised in L.A., which I guess makes me a little unusual in this town now. My background is I went to Cal State Northridge when it was still called San Fernando Valley State College. I got my B.A. there, my M.B.A. at Pepperdine, and I teach corporate finance over at UCLA Extension in my spare time.
Great. And I understand that you've been working in this type of a career for quite a few years. When did you start Build It Backwards, and what is that all about?
Well, I left commercial banking after a very successful career back in 96. Banking had changed and was moving in a direction that I wasn't really comfortable with because I wanted to make a real difference with my clients. So that's when I left back in 96 and started Build It Backwards. And it's very interesting. Our approach is much more focused on the client need and what they really want and are able to do. And we've been very pleased over the last 17 years.
Now, in golf, I've heard of the concept of play it backwards, which is when the players go a day early and walk the course backwards to try to figure out where they want to land the ball and that type of a thing. Is that the concept behind Build It Backwards?
Not quite,
okay.
Although it isn't a bad idea if I could get more clients to look at their business that way. But there is a parallel. We actually work with clients in strategic planning first by helping them create their real vision. What is their furthest horizon that they would like to look at, what they'd like to work toward in the organization? From that position, then we turn around and create their success roadmap. So I'll give you an example. The current client, they're looking at 20-year goals. We took that then, once we were very specific, then they committed to 10-year, 5-year, and 1-year goals. So we literally build their plan backwards from their future horizon back to today.
Is it hard for people to look out that far, especially these days? I know there used to be a lot of talk about long-term horizons, and it seems like that long-term terminology has gotten shorter and shorter over the years.
And particularly if you're dealing with a technology company where 18 months is long-term.
Yeah, exactly.
It is very difficult for a lot of people because you have to break their habit. I don't want to use the word paradigm that's thrown around a lot. But so many of us are so concerned about today, the idea of long-term gets people nervous. But here's the real benefit, Bill, is if you're willing to really get a little uncomfortable and look a little further out, you can ignore all of the limiting assumptions that you're using for today's tactical planning, and you can really imagine and target anything you want to. Then our responsibility is to help you figure out how to achieve that.
What are some of the techniques you use to lay the groundwork on someone thinking out long term? Is there first thing we need to do is come up with what you're all about, your mission and your vision and things like that, or where do you start?
We use a model that I've developed over the last 10 or 12 years called the Peak Performance Pyramid. And you're right on track there. We start with a vision. What difference do you want to make in the world with your organization over the next, you pick the long term, 5, 10, 20 years? From the vision, that perfect world, what is the mission? That is the business you're in to achieve the vision. For from there, we help organizations really identify their core values, what they really want to stand for in the marketplace, and they want all of their employees to really live. From there, we can get very specific about the goals, not what we're going to accomplish today, but what are the long-term goals. Then you break them into medium and short-term. And the short-term goals are how we deal with today's activities, but being consistent with where the organization wants to go.
That's very.
Then we create action plans, so you have specific implementation.
It's very important, because if your goals will change based on changing environments and your tactics, but your long-term mission is probably not going to change, and it's important for people to check in with that periodically, isn't it, before they start doing tactical things?
Absolutely agree. It's like learning to drive. When I first was learning to drive, I kept looking a foot in front of the car and almost caused multiple accidents. And finally, my father got me to focus on the end of the road. Look down there, and the car will follow where you're looking. And I've used that as an analogy ever since.
Now, you use an approach that has an acronym to it. It starts with A. Can you? APCMAIR, is that right?
Right. That's very good. We call that the APICMAIR.
APICMAIR, okay. I knew it had a name to it.
Yes, and thank you for asking. That is a model that has proven to be extremely successful, and most organizations that we work with, whether they're for-profit or not-for-profit, have really been surprised at how easy it is to adopt that, because it's a modern version of what Deming had created 40 or 50 years ago, his old plan, do, check, and act, PDCA. Well, this is just an updated version of that. It's very important to assess where we are, strengths and weaknesses, etc., before we start to plan. That's the A. The P is to plan, create a real plan of action, which forces us to ask questions and answer them that otherwise we generally don't. The C is communicate. The biggest failing in every company I've worked with in the last 25 years, by their own admission, is we don't communicate. So if you've got a plan, communicate it consistently throughout the organization. Then the I is implement. Most plans fail for a simple reason, Bill. Companies never get around to implementing them. They keep putting out fires. Excuse me. They keep firefighting instead of putting out fires. So you create an implementation plan. M is measure. Only those few critical things to tell you if you're on track or not. A is the adjustment, because we have to make real-time adjustments. And here's a little secret. I is improve. Improve what you do every day, every week, every month. And then repeat the cycle. That's our APCIMAIR.
That's a good cycle. And, you know, you mentioned a couple things during that. One is that what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Yes.
To go back to an old movie. And let's talk about that now. Is that because the plan or the actual plan that's been put together is too complicated and it's hard to communicate, or do people just fail to get it out there and bring everybody into it?
It's really a combination of a few things. Rarely have I seen a plan that is too complicated, because most companies underplan rather than overplan. And when a plan is put together, so frequently the leadership team, senior management, knows where they want to go, but are afraid, for whatever reason, to share the plan with the employees, who are the ones who have to implement it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So they're shooting themselves in the foot from the beginning. And so we really try to help companies understand you cannot accomplish your plan, whatever it is, without communicating it throughout the organization. Getting the employees' buy-in and their participation, that's the only way to succeed.
Well, and as evolutionary communication tactics have come about, I mean, you see billboards with two words on them, You know, I mean, we're communicating much quicker and much faster these days. So is it important to bring it all back down to, say, a one-page overview? Or what do you recommend to people when they say, hey, here's our plan, and it's 14 pages. Now let's go communicate it to everybody.
Excellent point. No. After the planning is done, boiling it down to the critical few points and communicating those is really the first step in communication. But a successful communication plan has to be in a variety of ways, you know, email, posters, letters, conversations, etc. So it has to be in a variety of ways. It needs to be consistent, and it needs to be repetitive. But then the real driver of the communication, and this is something, again, I rarely see, if the company will create a communication board, literally a whiteboard, a flip chart, something on the wall that says, here's the half a dozen critical metrics to us as a company. We're going to put them up here so everybody in the company can see them. We all see what we're driving towards together, and update those on a regular basis so we can see the progress we're making and celebrate success. That's successful communication.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, you know the old carpenter saying, measure twice and cut once?
Yeah.
Well, it may be the first part of your acronym, when they're doing their planning, it really boiling it down to the communication side of things. Because, like you said, those are the people that are going to implement the plan. They need to really be clear and understand. And yeah, they can look at the 14-page plan if they're interested and they need to know, but they just really need to know what the goal tactics are, goals and tactics, I should say, are, so that they can get back to it and understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Absolutely, because the why is much more important than the how or the what.
Now, do you advocate motivating key employees to reach these goals with some types of financial instruments or bonuses or things like that? Or how do you motivate people now to reach and exceed these goals?
We have found, and there's plenty of studies and research on this, that money is a great motivator at the beginning, at the low end. But once people have enough money to really take care of their needs, it diminishes in its motivating power. Recognition, team accomplishments, gold plaques, things other than money seem to be much more valuable over the long run. And you'll see this in political campaigns frequently. No matter what two candidates say about each other during the campaign, the last 24 hours generally, they're going to stand up and say, look, forget everything you've heard to this point. You know I'm going to win. Get on board with a winner. People, Bill, want to be part of a winner. And particularly if this is where you're spending 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day, setting goals that are stretch goals, really tough to achieve but possible, and giving the employees the direction, the tools to accomplish them, and having the accomplishments recognized and rewarded over the long run has actually turned out to be much better as a motivator than money.
So letting them know, well, first of all, recognition in front of your peers is powerful.
Wow, yes.
That you're a team member who's really doing what we've asked you to do and exceeding our expectations. And that motivates other people to say, hey, I want that award. I want to be up there getting that. But then also letting the team know that the team is moving in the right direction. We're moving where we hope to move, and you're all part of that. So helping people feel more part of the team?
Absolutely. And also, since people are motivated based on the old acronym of WIFM, what's in it for me, companies that are successful reward the employees that are part of that by, at the very bottom line, still being there with a job, with opportunities to grow, more money, more advancement, more different responsibilities within a company. Think of the alternative. If we don't succeed, we're not going to be around to pay anybody's base salary.
That's a motivator.
Generally, yes. Particularly, I mean, let's be honest, go back just a couple of years, we suffered the worst recession in 80 years. We don't want that to happen again, but when companies are suffering, whether it's because of their own situation or the marketplace, they're going to have to make tough decisions. So if everybody in the company can work together to assure more success, everybody benefits, short and long term.
We only have about a minute left or so, but you piqued my interest on the pre-interview questionnaire, which was, you said, ask me what is the secret that most companies miss that will make the difference. Are you going to tell our listeners, or are you just going to lead us on?
Well, I suppose I should give you that secret. The real secret here, the answer to that question is, anybody can talk about creating a plan. The biggest difference in my experience and in all the literature I've read and all the research is most companies don't plan, and the ones that plan don't implement. The real secret, create almost any type of plan that you implement, and the company will be more successful than the greatest, most beautiful plan in the world that sits on the shelf. In other words, take the Nike approach. Just do it.
Just do it. Do it planning, and then do it implementing.
Yeah, and if you really do it smart, of course, Bill, you build it backwards.
There you go. I appreciate you joining us today. Daniel, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Easiest way is either give me a call, and our office number is 310-540-6717, or you can get a hold of us via email, just my name, Daniel Feynman, at buildit.backwards.com.
And Feynman is spelled F-E-I-M-A-N. And you also, your website is simply buildit.backwards.com.
That's correct.
I'm intrigued. I'm going to go check it out, and I hope our listeners will too. Thanks very much for joining us. I'd love to have you back on again at some point, and we can go deeper into this subject matter.
Great, Bill. Look forward to it. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. I've been talking with Daniel Feynman of Build It Backwards. We're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
Listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.